Wasting too much time, focusing too much time on product development and not enough time on sales and marketing is the kiss of death for a business.
Welcome to the Bedros Koulian Show.
Back when Q was rolling with Lorenzo and a Benzo, I was banging with a gang of instrumentals. Hey, listen, winning in business is pretty awesome, but today I want to share with you my biggest mistakes in business. And in fact, these mistakes are also mistakes that I see many new entrepreneurs make, and so I want to share them with you so that you can avoid them. Hey, gang, welcome to the Bedros Koulian Show. I'm Bedros Koulian, and today's episode is about me sharing with you all the big mistakes that I've made in business during my come up. And the reason I want to share this with you is because you look into my business now after 20 years of running, you know, multiple companies, Fit Body Bootcamp, Trulene Supplements, coaching businesses, etc. And it's like, man, that guy catches lightning in a bottle. That's what someone said about me recently. What y'all probably don't realize is during that come up, like from zero to my first couple million dollars a year, I made some big mistakes. And when I get coaching clients that come in for their domination year half day coaching session, I'll inevitably find some of these big mistakes and blunders that they're making in their business, which is slowing down their growth, adding more stress and friction, and effectively taking away profits, right? Because it gets pretty expensive when you're making mistakes and you keep throwing more money at it, trying to fix the mistake, not realizing that the mistake might have another solution. So without any further ado, let's get started. But before we do, I just want to show a lot of gratitude for all of you who listen to this on Spotify, iTunes, and watch this on YouTube. If it wasn't for y'all, this show, the BK show, would not be growing as quickly as it is. Man, we are in the top five spot on a consistent basis in our category. We continue to get more subscribers, and that helps disseminate our message across the platforms. And for that, I'm massively grateful and thankful for. So let's get started. All right, some of the biggest mistakes. So these are mistakes, like I said, that really slow down the growth of a business, and in some cases will actually put a business under. So big mistake number one that I made often in the beginning of my business, and it was getting a business partner. Now, I'm not saying business partners are bad, because I have several business partners. Like, I've got business partners in Fuel Hunt, right? The shirt that I'm wearing. And Joey and Drew are awesome business partners. In fact, I'm their business partner. They started the company. I bought into the company about a year and a half, 2 years ago. And they are awesome business partners, and we have a great relationship. I'm business partners with Dan Fleischman in our ranch in Temecula. We bought a beautiful ranch, Blacksite Ranch, and we run tons of experiential events on it. And it's fantastic. Craig Ballantyne and I, for years, were business partners, and we ran a coaching program, a mastermind, and if you remember the old Empire show, right? However, there are certain types of business partners that you got to avoid, and this is what I want to talk to you about. Every one of those business partners that I mentioned, from Fuel Hunt, Joey and Drew, Craig Ballantyne, and Dan Fleischman, every single one of these business partners were partners who bring a different set of skills and values to the relationship, right? And when someone is a business partner, you better make sure that they bring a very different set of skills and values to the partnership. Because if they don't share your core values, if they don't bring in new skills that you don't have, or they don't bring in money, which is an accelerant for business, then what you really have is two people who end up fighting because they don't share core values, they don't share work ethics, you don't have a similar way of leading your people, right? And so if you ever read the book Traction, the best example I can give you of business partnerships is the visionary and the integrator. While both of those people might be equal owners of the business, one of them has to be the visionary and the other has to be the integrator. Because if both try and sit in the visionary seat, now you have a lot of static. And so that is a very necessary thing. And early on in my career as an entrepreneur, I would go into business with people because I simply liked them, right? I liked them. They were friends, but it didn't mean that we had our work ethic were similar.
that our desire to grow a huge company was the same, or that they had skill sets as entrepreneurs that were different. Like, for example, let's say I'm a great marketer and salesperson, but they would handle operations and systems and support and fulfillment, right? Those are two very different skill sets. I would just be like, hey, we're friends. We got this idea together. Why don't we start it? And ultimately what would happen is the business partnership would fall apart. And in the process, you lose your friendship as well. So I'm telling you right now, you got to have a rule for getting business partners on board. And here's my rule of getting business partners. And if this rule works for you, use it. If you're like, you know what, I don't think it'll work for me, then discard it. But I have a pretty good feeling it'll work for you, because every single one of my coaching clients that I've shared this with, they fucking love it. And here's the rule. One, you got to know who your potential business partner is. You got to have known them for at least 12 months. Like, I believe that you got to know these people for at least four seasons of life, right? 12 months. Number two, in addition to liking them as a person, maybe they're fun to hang out with, fun to work out with, fun to go and have dinner and watch a comedy show with, but do they share your same work ethic? Do they have the same vision, right, as you in terms of where the business is going to go? Do they have the same level of urgency? You might have this like high level of urgency, but they might be like, ah, it's 5 p.m., bro. I'm taking the day off and then I'm taking weekends off. And you're like, what the fuck? I'm working weekends. We're in like the growth phase right now. We have to work weekends. Soon you start building resentment. So for me, if I know them for a 12-month period and I see that they're not married to crazy, that they themselves are not crazy, then I'm like, all right, I know them for at least 12 months and I've seen a solid, consistent human being. We share the same visions, values, urgency, work ethic. Check. Got it. And the third thing is that they bring in a different set of experiences or value to the company, to the business, than I bring. Because if they bring in everything that I bring, what's the point of the business partnership, right? Now I'm giving 50% of the money away. Now you might say, well, they're absorbing 50% of the risk. Yes, but if the only reason you're bringing a business partner on board is so that you can have someone who can absorb 50% of the risk, you probably shouldn't be going into business in the first place. Hey guys, quick interruption to the Bedros Koulian Show. I want to tell you about the newly reformulated Trulene Wellness Shot. Now, I wanted to create a supplement that was zero compromise, that would boost your immune system, fight off inflammation in your gut, joint, and body so that you can keep getting after your goals and dreams in life. And now the new reformulated Trulene Wellness Shot is boosted with electrolytes to help keep you hydrated as well. Trulene Wellness Shots are packed with these amazing ingredients: vitamin C, vitamin D, B12, zinc, turmeric, echinacea, ginger, astragalus, and now with electrolytes to help keep you hydrated. And if you're anything like me, then you're going to want to get these Trulene Wellness Shots because you want to stay healthy, hydrated, and inflammation-free so that you can keep chasing your goals and dreams in life. Now, just like the Godfather Don Corleone, I'm going to make you an offer that you can't refuse. When you go to Trulene.com and use my name, Bedros, during checkout and you join the Trulene Tribe Subscription Club, you will not only get 50% off your 30-day supply, but you'll also get free shipping, and it comes with a 30-day unconditional money-back guarantee. So for any reason you don't like the Trulene Wellness Shots, and we have yet to meet anyone who doesn't like these awesome products, then just let us know and we'll give you a full refund and part ways as friends. Go to Trulene.com, check out the Wellness Shot, use my name, Bedros, and get 50% off when you join the Trulene Tribe. You get free shipping, 30-day money-back guarantee, and I promise you, you're going to love this product and you're going to tell all your friends about it. Now back to the show. So thing number two that I really screwed up on, which is too much focus on the product, not enough focus on marketing and sales. And in the beginning, I was like, man, I want to build the best coaching program ever. I want to have the best fitness franchise ever. I want to have the best product ever. Well, when you spend all this time focusing on improving the product and constantly doing it over and over again, trying to look for perfection, and you don't spend time actually putting out content, building affiliates, getting marketing systems dialed in, tightening up your sales process and follow-up process and referral generation process, then what you have is a really great product, but you never took time to actually drive traffic, to market, get leads, convert those leads into paying clients and customers. And early on, I see a lot of entrepreneurs do this. They spend so much time in developing their logo and developing the product, rewriting it, reshooting the content, reformulating the thing, whatever it is, remaking the widget. And it's like, dude, are you ever going to put this thing to market? Because imagine this, if you spent the same amount of effort and energy on marketing this thing, putting content out for it, getting affiliates to promote it, and figuring out a sales process that converts people into paying clients and customers, the customers will give you the feedback that you're looking for, and you'll know exactly what areas of that product that you can improve, right? So again, wasting too much time, focusing too much time on product development and not enough time on sales and marketing is the kiss of death for a business. Number three, not raising money, right? And going into personal debt. And this rings true for me. If you've watched this podcast a long enough time, you know that I was in massive debt. I had maxed out credit cards. I had taken out a second on my home in terms of a home equity line of credit. And I had put myself, and I'd kind of drained my bank accounts, and I'd put myself in a position where my back was absolutely against the wall. Now, make no mistake about it. There is a wonderful, beautiful thing about having your back against the wall where it's like, it's a do or die moment. But I'm telling you, as I think about it now, if I can go back 15 years, I'm like, what am I doing? I could have put a third of the money out of my pocket and still kept everything safe in terms of the bank account wouldn't be empty, right? Like my family had no backup money. If the poop hit the fan, like that was it. I didn't have like 2, 3, 4 months of just in case money. Like I was running a very thin bank account. My credit cards were maxed out in the beginning phases of being an entrepreneur. And that's a scary thing because if you're married, if you have a family, if you have kids, if you have a home, if you have all these things going on, then your family feels this like fear of what if things don't work out, right? And it will start truly causing a lot of problems in your relationship. And it will start creating enough stress where you're like, what the fuck am I doing? And now you're starting to doubt yourself and question yourself. And I remember many a times, man, doubting and questioning myself, thinking, why did I max out credit cards? Why did I go in such a deep debt, right? That I felt like I was having to dig myself out of a massive deficit. What I should have done is maybe put a third of the money out of my pocket and raised capital for the other two thirds, right? Imagine raising capital. And so you're like, well, what does raising capital mean? Do I have to give equity away in my company, in my new company? Not always, no. So if you raise money and you're like, hey, give me $200,000 because I'm building this franchise called Fit Body Bootcamp, and I'll give you whatever, 5%, 10% equity. That way, as the company starts getting profitable, you get your monthly or quarterly profit share, right? But that's if you're doing raising capital money for equity. But you could also say, hey, can you loan me $200,000 and I'll pay you 10% interest, right? Over the next 2 years, 3 years. So I'll pay you 10% interest a year over the next 2, 3, 4, 5 years, however long you need that money, right? And by doing that, now this person has their money working for them, right? You might go to friends and family. You might go to a mentor. You might go to someone that you know who like believes in you and is like, yeah, man, I'll put in 50 grand. Yeah, I'll put in 80 grand. I'll put in 20 grand. I'll put in 10 grand. I'll put in 100 grand. Now you raise the capital that you need. And what you're doing is you're paying them interest way better than a bank would, because a bank pays what in a savings account under 1% interest right now, right? You're paying them 10%, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11% interest, which now they're making money on their investment and they have no equity because let's say it's a 3-year investment that they're doing in your business. So over those 3 years, you're just paying back interest. It's called interest only payment. And then at the end of the 3 years, you pay back their balloon payment. So if Ed over here loaned me 100 grand over 3 years, I would pay him 10% a year, right? But I would just pay him the interest rate, the interest that he would get. And then at the end of the third year, I would give him his $100,000 back as well. And so you could structure it where you're raising money and you're not putting yourself and your family at risk in a financial way. So fourth thing is not valuing leaderships. And I got to tell you, I believed early on that because it says CEO on the corporate paperwork, I'm the leader. And I guess technically you are. Like by definition, the CEO is the leader of the company. However, leadership is more than just positional authority. There's such thing as moral authority. And that means being a great visionary, knowing what your company's core values are, being an awesome communicator, being able to delegate to your team, being able to problem solve with your team, making sure that your team shares the same vision that you do, being able to have conversations without hiding from those conversations or being passive aggressive. I was the leader who was not a great communicator, did not have a clear vision, and found myself in a position where I was very passive aggressive with my employees at the time. This is like 15, 16 years ago, right? When I started Fit Body Bootcamp. And for me, it was a big learning lesson because I always felt like it wasn't like me and my employees against the world. It was like me against the world and then me against my employees. And when you're trying to launch a business off the ground, like, that's a hard way to do it, man. If like you're fighting battles on two fronts because you feel like your employees aren't necessarily a team, they almost have it out for you. And the reason they would have it out for you is because you haven't really shared a vision that they could buy into. You haven't communicated your expectations and your needs. And so ultimately, when they can't meet these ridiculous expectations that you have in your head that you've never shared, you end up getting angry and passive aggressive with them. Like, of course they're going to be upset with you, right? And of course your best employees are going to quit. In fact, it was due to my poor leadership that one of my best employees in the very beginning, about 15 years ago, ended up quitting. That guy could have ended up being a leader in one of my companies today, but he fired me. And so understand that as a leader, it's not you who does all the firing and hiring. Some of your best employees will end up firing you by realizing that you're not a good communicator, that you're passive aggressive, that you don't have a clear vision of where your company's headed, right? And you haven't set expectations for them, and so they feel like they're just spinning their wheels and that you're always pissed off at them. And ultimately they go, you know what, dude, I'm gonna fire you by quitting and going to work for someone else who will treat me better. And that's kind of a sucky thing for you because you end up stuck with the shittiest of employees. And who wants that in the process of building a business, right? So number five, borrow money, but only if you know what you're gonna do with it, right? In the recent years, like especially like post-pandemic, I've seen a ton of people raising capital. In other words, trying to borrow money from friends, family, investors, et cetera, to launch a business, but they don't specifically know what they're gonna do with that $500,000, $2 million, $10 million that they're raising. If you're borrowing money and you have committed to paying these people 10% interest per year, anywhere from, I guess, 7 to 11% interest per year, let's say, right? The moment you borrow money, the time starts ticking. You better know what you're doing with that money, because if you don't, you're paying them interest back. Time is ticking and you don't know what to do with that money. So you end up maybe getting a corporate office. You end up developing a better logo, right? You end up doing these things that aren't necessarily generating sales and getting new customers into the business. You'd be surprised how quickly a year, 2 years, 3 years go by and you're like, holy fuck, I owe the balloon payment back to these people and I don't have the money because I took the money from them. And since I had money sitting in a bank account, but I had no plan or specific purpose for this money, I ended up just squandering it by creating hats and shirts and fucking a new logo and a bigger corporate office and painting the walls and doing all, you know, wrapping my car, thinking you're doing stuff, but you're really not. So every time you borrow a penny from someone, before you even take that penny, before the ink dries on that agreement, you better know exactly how this money is going to get deployed, that every dollar that they gave you is going to bring back at least another dollar. Otherwise, don't borrow the money. Number six is a really big mistake we made here early on at the corporate office, because, you know, software. We live in a time where technology is just fucking necessary, right? So there's software that's like CRM, client relationship management, right? There's technology that helps, you know, send out emails, right? Email marketing platforms. There's technology and software that helps make websites. There's all these different software bundles that you can buy from Salesforce to whatever, right? And at the end of the day, whether it's HubSpot or Salesforce or whatever it is that you're buying, you'll find yourself investing in a lot of software platforms that are supposed to produce an outcome, but you didn't really link them together well, or you made a very quick decision without really sniffing out if that software platform can do what you want it to do. And now you're in a 1 year, 2 year, 3 year contract with a software company for thousands of dollars per month sometimes. Like if you've never priced Salesforce, I'm not sitting here shitting on Salesforce. I'm saying that we bought Salesforce. It cost us something like 30 some odd thousand dollars to bring Salesforce on board, right? The software. And like another, I think $15,000 to then integrate it into our lead generation system, only to realize within about 6 months that we really didn't need it, right? We didn't need it. And so it's our bad decision in buying that. But think how much money it cost us because we were on a contract with them. And so buy software only after you know what it does. You have seen other people doing it. You can confirm. Because at the end of the day, by the way, the software sales reps, their job is to sell you the software. Their job is not always necessarily to be honest with you. In the perfect world, they would be honest with you, but it's not necessarily a place that they're going to be honest with you, right? So if you're an entrepreneur, like it is you and your team's job to figure out, is this software going to do what you say it did? Is it worth it for me? Is it going to integrate well in my company? Is it something that other people in my industry use? Can I see them? Can I talk to them? Can I get some kind of validation from them? Only then would you invest in that software. I've probably lost, I'm not kidding, over the last decade, probably a couple million dollars in useless software purchases. And it's a big lesson for me to learn and to pass along to you. All right, mistake number seven, no KPIs. KPIs stand for key performance indicators. And so if you're my employee, you're my team member, and you're like, hey, Pedros, what's my job? I'm like, your job is to run Facebook ads for us, right? You just run Facebook ads and that's it, nothing else. You're like, okay, cool. I go, yeah, here's your budget, you know, $20,000 a month to run Facebook ads to this page. If you don't have a KPI, key performance indicator, you don't know what winning looks like. You're running ads, we're getting leads, but if we're paying a few hundred dollars per lead, or we're paying $3 per lead and those leads aren't converting. We've had times where we've paid a ton of money for leads and they don't convert and they're the wrong leads. We've had times where the marketer tells us, oh man, I've got your cost of lead acquisition down. We're like, okay, that kind of makes sense, but they're also not converting. They're not the right leads. They don't have the money, right? I'd rather pay a little more for the lead and get the right lead who's going to convert and actually give me fucking money for the product that I'm trying to sell them. And so understand that if you don't have KPIs in place for any of your people, from your assistant to your customer support to fulfillment, like fulfillment, how many of products do they need to send out, right? Like Fuel Hunt headquarters, every day we're sending out apparel, rash guards, shirts, hats, all over the country. Well, how many can one person send out on one shift? How many is acceptable to have a, you know, bad address on? What happens if the shirt shows up, tore up because it wasn't packaged right? What percentage of shirts can be damaged, right? Because there's always going to be spoilage in any industry. If those KPIs are not set, then people don't know what winning looks like, and therefore you as a leader cannot get upset at them. So again, not setting key performance indicators for my employees early on ended up costing me a lot of money because they thought they were doing their job, but I felt like they weren't, but I had no measurable tool to measure them against. Number eight, hiring and keeping shitty employees. I've been the king of that in the beginning. If you ever read my book, Man Up, which, by the way, highly recommend getting my book. And I'm not just saying that because I wrote it. It's literally a international bestseller, a Wall Street Journal bestseller. And that's because the book is about manning up to your highest purpose and potential as a leader, both in life and in business, right? And it's for male and female entrepreneurs. Get my book, Man Up, and read it. I promise you, it will change the way the six pillars of entrepreneurial and personal leadership that I share in my book will change and transform how you lead yourself, how you lead your life, and how you lead your business. But I share this with you because in the beginning, I would hire people. And this happens, by the way, like it's not your fault for hiring people who were not a good fit. It is your fault for keeping them because you feel bad for them, or you don't want to be the mean person to fire them, right? But what ends up happening, or you might hire someone good and a life disaster happens for them. They go off the deep end, or they start a crack habit. They fucking start over consuming fucking booze, whatever, start showing up drunk to work. Like, at some point, good people from time to time end up being fucked up in their profession, right? Maybe it's a divorce they're going through. Maybe it's a life crisis they're going through, and you're trying to help them get over that shit, but they just can't. How long are you going to keep them? It is your fault for keeping someone who is no longer a value to your business. You know, I think it was in Jocko's book, Extreme Ownership, where he talks about mission over the man, right? Like the SEALs have this like mantra. They have to accomplish the mission over the man. So basically, if you know they're out there on a mission and one of the homies gets shot, the mission trumps that dude that got shot. And if that guy can, he needs to render himself first aid until the rest of the mission is complete, then they'll tend to him. Well, mission over the man applies in business as well. What ends up happening is you had a good employee and they were meeting their KPIs, right? And getting things done. And all of a sudden they had a life ambush, a life crisis. They try as you might, you tried to help them. You weren't able to help them. Now they're in a position where they're just sabotaging you, your business, themselves, and you're keeping them because you feel bad for them. You don't want to fire them. You don't want to be the bad guy. And what's happening is all your other great employees see that you're keeping this shit bag on board. And they go, well, if Bedros is going to lower his standards and accept this guy's mediocrity as the standard, well, I guess we can lower our workload as well and get mediocre as well. I've literally seen companies lose some of their best employees because the best employees ended up losing respect for the leader and those employees leave, or those employees lower their standards and end up bringing it down to a lower standard because the leader accepted mediocrity from one other person. Or you just hire someone, they interviewed well, their resume looked great, and you even called for references and their references were like, this person's fucking solid, but then boom, they weren't. They're an idiot, right? How long are you going to keep them? And the longer you keep them, the more they cost you. So if you hire or you keep shitty employees, it will cost you time, money, energy, and most of all, your reputation. All right, number 9, not getting an assistant soon enough. This is the number one mistake I see in entrepreneurs who are making $500,000 a year or more. If you don't have an assistant at that point, you're probably doing work that you could be paying someone $18 to $22 an hour to do. Now, if you value your time at $18 to $22, right? Fine, I suppose. But think about how much trivial work you're doing that you could pay someone else to do for $18 to $22, and they would gladly do it, which would free up more of your time to do these $10,000 an hour work that you could do, right? Like create content, run your podcast, work on that book, develop partnerships and relationships, go out there and find affiliates. Like there's so much higher value stuff you could do, but you're putting that on the back burner because you've got so much trivial small things to do that you could pay an assistant $18 to $22 an hour to do for you, right? And so oftentimes you will end up slowing down the growth of your business, literally retarding the growth of your business because you chose to be cheap or ignorant and not hire an assistant soon enough. I've never seen a single entrepreneur, I'm gonna go on record and say this, I've never seen or heard of a single entrepreneur that said, man, I hired an assistant too early on in my career and like I screwed up. I always hear, I didn't hire an assistant soon enough and it cost me time, money, energy, all of it, right? And then number 10, this is for companies that are really growing. You know, you're doing, let's say, seven figures, multiple seven figures. You're starting to get to eight figures. And recently I got a brand new coaching client on board for my Domination Your Coaching program. Let's just say they own, in the Midwest, they own a very, very big store that sells physical products, right? And these physical products are for every season of the year. So depending on the season, it's a different product that they sell, and they do really well with it. But the founders are still running the day-to-day as the CEOs. So their biggest problem is, hey, now we've got a Shopify store because we don't want to just sell here in the Midwest. We want to sell all over the country. We've got a Shopify store and we've got a team of people who are going to make YouTube videos, how-to content with our products. But we have yet to launch this. And I'm like, how come? right? This is like their first half date with me. And I go, how come? They go, well, we're just too busy in the weeds, creating systems, putting out fires, processes. I'm like, but you guys are making $8 million a year right now. If you're doing $8 million a year with like 33% profit margins, could you imagine how much more you could do if you were elevated and no longer in the weeds, but being the visionary of your company, right? And they're like, well, how do we do that? I'm like, you got to get a second in command, an operator. 9 out of 10 times, the founders should not be the CEOs or VPs or head of operations. Most founders are great visionaries and they're great creatives and were action takers, but your operators, who could either be director of operations, VP, or CEO, they will run the business even better than you can. And they will be that gatekeeper between you and all the little fires that need to get put out on a day-to-day basis. Like, make no mistake about it. We run 7 companies out of this building here. And, you know, Fit Body Bootcamp has a leader and Trulene Supplements has a leader. So let's just use Fit Body Bootcamp for a moment. Bryce is our CEO of Fit Body Bootcamp. So we have employees in like 5 or 6 different departments, right? Like sales department, franchise support department, compliance department, and the departments go on. And there's anywhere from like 3 to, let's say, 4 or 5 employees in each department. And some of these employees are on site here in the building. Some are off site, work from home. Well, I don't have to handle these employees. I don't have to deal with the day-to-day problems. I could be the visionary living in the future and seeing what Fit Body Bootcamp is going to become a year from now, 3 years from now, 5 years from now. When I didn't have Bryce as my CEO, I was too much in the weeds. In fact, now Bryce is an even better operator than I was. He's a better CEO of my company than I was, to the point where each department has employees and each department has a leader. So if those employees have a problem, Bryce doesn't have to address it. Their department leader addresses it. And if their department leader doesn't have the answer, then they go to another leader from another department to see if they could help solve the problem. If at that point they can't solve the problem, then they escalate it up to Bryce. And if Bryce can't solve the problem, then he'll bring it up to me, which is a pretty rare scenario, which allows me to buy back more of my time and create more relationships, opportunities, and have greater vision for what Fit Body Bootcamp next year and the year after that will look like. Same with Trulene Supplements, right? Jeff Rosenquist is our VP, and he is the guy that all the problems come to. And he only will elevate it to me when it's a problem that he can't solve and he can't take it up to Bryce, who's our CEO of Fit Body Bootcamp. So now I've got leaders who work together throughout my different companies to be able to solve problems and keep those problems away from me so that I could have time to think and process and build relationships, create content that drives our business forward, right? So think about this. If you don't hire an operator and you're still in the weeds and you're like, well, I don't have the money to hire an operator, I'm telling you, if you can tighten the belt and maybe raise some capital or figure out a creative way to bring an operator on board, you will buy back more of your time to end up creating more money like in the next few months to come. So if you're able to avoid these 10 mistakes that I've made and many of my coaching clients have made early on in their businesses, and we've been able to break through all these things, guys, I'm telling you, you will have such a successful business with less friction, less frustration, less contraction, right? Like, think about how many times your business has expanded, and then collapsed on itself. That's contraction. And the reason that happens is because you don't have the right people or the right processes in place. And most of everything we talked about here really distilled down to people and processes. Because I'm gonna assume that you have a great product. That means you must have a shitty process or shitty people who can't deploy the processes, and therefore the business continues to contract on itself. So those are the 10 things I want you to avoid so that you don't make the mistakes that I did during your come up. And of course, if you ever want me to coach you in your business and you're running a business that's doing $500,000 a year in gross revenue or more, then go to bedrosscooling.com and click on the Domination Year button and you can learn more about my private coaching program. And if you are coming out to Bedros Koulian Live on September 13th and 14th, then I want you to go into the description box on this podcast, on the show, and You can find a link to BK Live, September 13th, 14th in beautiful Scottsdale, Arizona. 2 days of making money, developing higher meaning, and of course, creating self-mastery at the highest level. Guys and gals, thank you for watching this episode. And remember that average is the enemy, that success is your responsibility, and change can take place in an instant if you are willing to flip the switch. I'll see you next time.
What's the difference between me and you? Back when Q was rolling with Lorenzo in a Benzo, I was banging with a gang of instrumental.